I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Special coverage with David Dujanovic.
Well, you heard it here first on Utah's Morning News. Governor Gary Herbert on KSL News Radio for a full hour, a special edition of Let Me Speak to the Governor. And the big question, and Amanda and Tim got to it right off the bat, was this health order that restricts social gathering in your home to household members only. And he said very, very clearly he will not be extending that portion of the order.
We understand the desire to get together with our families during the Thanksgiving holidays, and we're going to eliminate the portion of the order that tells you what you have to do inside your own home.
11 days in, Deb. We're 11 days in to where the governor said the only people you can hang out with, they have to be living under your roof. Like, not even if your best friend is your brother, the only people you can hang out with is in your immediate house. That's what he's rescinding come Sunday. Once that goes by, then he's just asking now instead of that executive order.
In a moment, let's talk about the mask mandate. But I'm curious to know if this will change people's minds about whether they will host Thanksgiving dinner. I've made a commitment not to cook this year. Not to host Thanksgiving dinner for my children who live outside my home. I have two who live outside the home, one that lives with me. I'm going to stick to that, Dave, because I'm not seeing a downward trend yet in the number of cases. We had another 3,000-plus cases yesterday. We have 541 people as of last night in the hospital. I'm not taking the risk. I'm sure everybody will look at it differently than I do, though.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, even the people that are going to gather with a large family gathering, totally respects your decision to make that decision for yourself, right? If you want to be extra cautious, then that's fine, but there's certainly a risk tolerance issue going on here where some people are like, you know what, I realize there's a risk, but I got to see my family. And right or wrong, that's definitely how a lot of people feel.
My hope is that they take precautions to protect themselves in the midst of this spike. And again, at 10:50 this morning, the doctor who helped write the CDC guidelines for safety in our homes for Thanksgiving joining us live on the line to talk about those guidelines. And they get very nitty-gritty, very nitty-gritty. Let's talk about the mask mandate here in the state. The governor implementing it just a few days ago statewide. We had it county by county, but that got really confusing. And so he said, look, blanket mask mandate across the state. Amanda asked the governor, what will happen with that mask mandate?
Will the mask mandate continue, Governor?
The mask mandate will continue. It's actually, as I've said before, I think the science is very clear now. I mean, 95% of people, the studies, we had the one review from Brigham Young University, clearly masks reduce. That doesn't eliminate entirely the risk, but it reduces by about 70% the ability of us to transmit it and to catch it.
And I can tell you, Deb, at least in my circles, we're wearing masks. In Davis County, I don't know what's going on in Salt Lake County because it feels like it's been months since I've been in Salt Lake County. But in Davis, you go to the store, you go to the shops, people are wearing masks.
Yeah, and I'm seeing the same thing here, mostly. Occasionally, you stumble into one person who doesn't have a mask on.
The weird thing is, or at least the thing that changes here, is they're asking that if you are having a family gathering, if you're going to meet together in Thanksgiving, to wear masks inside. That's the ask, right? They're not going to be cracking down. The cops aren't going to show up on your door knocking and saying, put on your mask. But they are asking that if you're gathering, even if it's indoors, even if it's family, that you wear a mask.
Right, because as he rescinds that part of the order that limits the number of people we should be having in our homes, he also asks that you keep windows open during Thanksgiving dinner to increase the circulation and wear the mask, and that one person be in charge of prepping the food. You know, I would really appreciate it that the governor hit on this topic on Utah's Morning News in that special hour of Let Me Speak to the Governor. And it has to do with people feeling safer when other people are wearing masks, which will help us, you know, get the economy rolling much sooner if we all feel safer about shopping at the grocery store in masks or going to the mall in masks.
Data is showing us, and we'll have more on this probably in the next day or two, that people now feel safer. If you're wearing a mask and I'm wearing a mask, going out to shop at Costco or the grocery store or shopping for clothing at a retail outlet, going down to the mall, we feel safer, and we are finding that people are more mobile if we're wearing masks.
They call it consumer confidence. You can have all the restrictions that you want or as open as you want, but unless people are feeling comfortable going to the store and going shopping, none of it matters. That's the consumer confidence factor that he's addressing. He's saying that if everyone is wearing masks, more people will feel comfortable going back out.
One of the great things about this Let Me Speak to the Governor special edition is it allowed a lot of people who probably can't listen in the later hour when it's normally hosted to call the show, before they have to commute in for work or get to work from their kitchen table. And one caller called in and asked, will there be more teeth, meaning more fines, with the mask mandate?
We have a requirement that in business environment that they have to have not only a good environment for their employees to work in with social distancing, masking, sanitation, etc., but a requirement when people come in the store, the shop, that they're asked to put a mask on. And we have the ability through our labor commission to, in fact, fine businesses if they don't comply with that. So there's a little more teeth in it. We want to be very judicious about it.
I did not get the impression, Dave, that if you forget to wear your mask when you're dashing into a grocery store that you're going to get slapped with a ticket. These fines will come from the Labor Commission to companies or businesses that do not follow the mask mandate. Let's talk about vaccinations. We learned a lot more yesterday on the show about the vaccine rollout. There was that live interview we had from the Director of Immunizations for the state of Utah. We're getting the vaccines very soon here. Governor Herbert had more to say about this morning. And he answered this: will you be forced to get the vaccine from the state of Utah? No, but possibly from your employer.
We're hopeful that by March, I've talked to Dr. Burks and Dr. Redfield from the CDC, that we'll have enough to start in March, spring of next year, inoculating everybody, anybody who wants to. There will be no forced vaccination. People ask me about that all the time. We have no desire to make people get vaccinated. Now, there could be private businesses that want you to get vaccinated. If you're going to work with them, that's up to their prerogative, but you won't see the government mandating anybody get a vaccine.
Yeah, and Debbie, we reported yesterday that we could receive 100,000 doses. The governor said we could even get as high as 150,000 doses. But the part that really stood out to me when he was explaining that, I really hadn't thought about, is if your private employer requires a vaccine to return to work. That was really shocking to me.
And so, as I mentioned, we want to get up to where we're testing 250,000 people a week. And if we have some bogged down.
Straight ahead, at the same time, we're going to move on to the discussion about Operation Warp Speed. Now, at the same time he was downplaying COVID-19, President Trump announced Operation Warp Speed at the very same time. So we're going to go into an analysis on Operation Warp Speed, the marks that President Trump hit, and then the goal of 300 million doses of the vaccine by January. Why that one may actually turn out to be a miss. Back with that conversation. It's 9:29. Now to news, traffic, and weather.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.